how we then take that knowledge and by doing experiments discover how people treat other people and how they can treat them most successfully.
And I think most people don't make that connection between machines and how people treat people. They think, oh, they're totally separate things. One of the most remarkable things is I've been reading the book is, hey, there is a link there.
Absolutely, yeah. We were surprised, and most people who are in our studies deny ever treating computers like people, but that's exactly what they do across an enormous range of behaviors. People do, in fact, use the same social rules and expectations towards computers as they do towards people.
And give us some examples, because you have a number of examples in the book where people are actually doing this, that this comes through.
Well, the title of the book, The Man Who Lied to His Laptop, comes from a study we did in which, so we start with the basic rule of politeness. If someone says, how do you like my such and such, people will say nicer things to them
right.
than they do to some other person. And what we did was we had people work with a computer, and then either the computer they just worked with, the one across the room said, well, how well did the computer do? And people said nicer things to the computer that asked about itself. And these weren't like just, you know, novices. These were experts in computer science. They were graduate students in computer science. And they knew better and insisted they wouldn't do anything as silly as that. But that's exactly what they did.
We are talking to Cliff Nass. He is the author of a wonderful book, The Man Who Lied to His Laptop, What Machines Teach Us About Human Relationships. He's also the director of the Communications Between Humans and Interactive Media Lab at Stanford University. One of the things that I've been enjoying about this book was I like these management books, and there are management lessons here for folks who manage people. There's a number of things you can learn, and one is about how you can go about praising people. Some interesting anecdotes about that.
Right. Well, these are all based, actually, unlike most management books, these are all based on actual experiments and, you know, careful study with people interacting with computers. So, for example, we learned that flattery is tremendously underrated. Flattering is incredibly effective. It makes people feel better. It makes them like you better, think you're smarter, and it actually helps them try harder. And so while we're used to being very negative towards people in the workplace, it seems much easier to be negative than positive. In fact, being positive, in fact, positive, even when it may not be warranted, is very valuable.
And you have I don't know if it's a lesson or but about how to praise and to almost like embed a criticism in a broad praise of the work that people do.
That's right. Well, one of the things that happens is the old rule was, you know, praise effusively and
right.
then give your criticism and then give a little summary praise at the end. And that turns out to be bad because when people are criticized, they forget what you said before and remember what you say after. So we'll often have times when we criticize someone and they say, you know, afterwards they say, boy, you were so mean. And you come back and say, wait a minute, I said all these great things before I said the negative, but now they forget all that. And so the human brain works so that once we hear the negative, that's all we focus on. And so the trick is to start out with just a little bit of praise, then give your negative remark, always with specific advice on how to change it and an action, and then go on to give, you know, more extensive positive and specific advice.
One of the things you talk about, and this seems particularly tied to the way our computers work, you talk about imitation being really, we always say imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, but at least according to your studies, that's really, really true, isn't it?
Absolutely. When you're interacting with someone, the more you can change to be like them, everything from matching their voice speed, their pitch, their cadence, to finding words that they use in a special way and repeating them back. Anything you can do to show similarity is extremely powerful and effective. It makes people try harder, feel more bonded to you, like you more, etc.
And you found that people like to be around similar people. I think the phrase you use is birds of a feather.
That's right. And in fact, there is a saying, opposites attract, and you wonder where does that come from. And in fact, it comes from what you talked about earlier, namely the only way that opposites actually attract is when they change to be more like each other. And then, as you said, imitation is flattery. So we don't see people bonding who are different and remain different. They have to start changing to be like each other.
So I'm on this section where you're talking about trustworthiness. And I'm fascinated by the idea behind trust, and we've had a couple of authors on talking about the power of trust, and trust seems so critically important.
It's absolutely important in everything from trying to persuade people to just getting people to like you. And it turns out trust really comes from two simple things. One is how expert you seem, even if it's just a simple, silly label. So in one study, we labeled the television set as specializing in showing either news or entertainment, and people thought the shows were better. So it turns out the most pathetic label can work for expertise. And as far as trustworthiness...
Sometimes those labels, and you have a couple of them in the book, but sometimes the labels almost sound almost silly, but they actually, they matter.
Absolutely. Anytime you can be labeled as intelligent or smart, no matter who almost is giving the label and no matter how arbitrary it seems, it's very powerful in convincing people that, in fact, you are expert. You're absolutely right. And the second dimension is a sense that the person is looking out for you, that they care. And again, many people forget that both of these are equally important. They lean, I tell the story of how I leaned too much on the expert angle and totally missed the caring angle, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Both of them are very problematic.
And it's hard sometimes to do both at the same time. It's like walking and chewing gum.
Absolutely, it is hard. And so the book describes strategies for when you can't fully do both, when you should choose one or the other, and how to show both of them.
And I forget which section, which chapter of the book it's in, but you talk about how inconsistencies can really undermine that trust level that you have with your team or whomever.
You're absolutely right. Probably the single worst thing people can do is to be inconsistent, and that includes everything from a weird gesture, smiling when you're criticizing someone. So
right.
Often they go off smile, and, you know, that'll lessen the blow. In fact, just the opposite. If those inconsistencies really bother the heck out of people, they make you seem dishonest, and people reach the worst possible conclusion.
If folks take away just one point from reading this book, from reading The Man Who Lied to His Laptop, again, love the name. But if people take away one point from this, you hope it's what?
That social life is much simpler than we think, and that even the most sort of awkward, you know, seemingly least social person can do extremely well if they know social rules, because if a computer can do well using social rules, as we show in the book, there are tremendous advantages to computers that do it. Think how much better a person can do.
And even in the parts that I've read, the thing that I really took away was this can be learned. That if you feel like you're clunky, there are ways to get better at this.
Absolutely. In fact, to program a computer to do things, you have to make the rules very clear, very simple, very explicit, and not sort of fuzzy and vague and not contradictory like so many adages, you know, and sayings are. So, in fact, in the book, we have a very large number of very specific, concrete suggestions that you can use all the time that work well for a computer, so they can work well for anyone from the least socially adept to the most suave.
Give folks an example of the one that surprised you the most, or maybe that speaks to you the most.
Geez, there were so many that surprised me. The idea of flattery being as important as it is. The fact that when misery loves miserable company, so when people are upset, they don't want happy people around them,
yeah.
And how to change that. I think the importance of, as you pointed out earlier, that trust is more than just being good at something. That there's a whole range of attributes that have to do with being seeming trustworthy and caring. That caring is just as important to trust as expertise, and that it's very easy to get both of them, I think, also really surprised me.
And sometimes we do rely on that expertise. We think, oh, I have a fancy title, and that's not really what builds that level of trust.
Absolutely. And well, the fancy title definitely helps.
Yeah.
In fact, you also have to be caring. And conversely, no matter how caring you seem, if you don't have that label of expertise, you're not going to win either.